This is Matt Wells at UN News. If young people can be mobilised worldwide to help stamp out the practice of female genital mutilation, it can be ended within the next 10 years. That's according to the UN Reproductive Health Agency, UNFPA's Joint Programme Coordinator on Eliminating FGM, Nafisatou Diop, in an interview just ahead of the International Day of Zero Tolerance to End FGM. She said that medicalising the practice was not a solution and does nothing to reduce the harm caused by genital cutting for non-medical reasons, recognised internationally as a violation of human rights. Ms. Diop spoke to UN News' Cristina Silveiro and said there was now a high level of will and political engagement to end the practice.
I just want to remind that we are talking about 200 million women and girls that went through the practice of FGM that are today alive. But this is based on only a number of countries with comparative data. And yearly, we have estimated an incidence of 4 million girls that are going through this practice of female genital mutilation. So our goal today within this campaign is to protect and make sure that these 4 million of girls, women, will be protected from female genital mutilation. So in terms of intervention, where we are today, I can say that we have reached a high level political will and engagement from member states to eliminate the practice of female genital mutilation. We have also been able to support the African Union in her, vision to accelerate effort to end the female genital mutilation by launching a campaign last February 2019, a campaign named Salima to end female genital mutilation. The most important for us is basically the young people who are representing almost 60% of the population of countries where FGM is prevalent and who have the potential to support the mobilization, the advocacy work, the education of people, mother, grandmother, leaders, religious leaders, traditional leaders, men, boys, girls, really abandon the practice of female genital mutilation. So we are quite confident that the process has been re-energized and is accelerating, and that we are making a lot of progress. But we need to also to be conscious that not all countries are making progress at the same time and on the same pace.
You mentioned a lot of progress, and yet we see this week again that a 12-year-old lost her life in Egypt in a medicalized context while undergoing FGM.
So this is again a reminder to everybody that medicalization of FGM is not a solution. It's not a way to reduce the harm of female genital mutilation, and it should stop. And there is a strong commitment from countries where medicalization of FGM is taking place, like Egypt, to really, stop this process. So what we know is that, if we do not encourage actually any community or people to think that moving from a type 3 infibulation of FGM to a type 1 of FGM is a way to go and should be respected, because it's a process of, a lengthy process of behavior change and mindset. But we want, as the United Nations, all together and all agencies together to say no to female genital mutilation. And we have zero tolerance for any type of female genital mutilation practiced by health providers or practiced by a traditional practitioner. This is zero for us.
This year's theme for the International Day Against Female Genital Mutilations is unleashing youth power. Why was it important to bring the youth in?
So the youth are representing almost 60% of the population of the countries where FGM is prevalent. Not all countries, but most countries where FGM is prevalent. So 6 out of 10 people are young people. They represent really a power. They represent a power in terms of agent of change. They represent a power in terms of watchdog. And what we have seen over the years is that this young generation has taken a strong leadership in ending and claiming their rights, including, you know, the rights for body integrity and body autonomy, and not be able to, go and be subjected to this kind of harmful practice of like female genital mutilation. So this young generation need to be engaged in the design of programs and policy and plan of action, need to be empowered and need to receive also the resources, not only in terms of technical assistance, but, and substance, but also in terms of funding, because they are everywhere. They are in all the neighborhood. They are in all villages. They are in rural area, everywhere. So if we strengthen this young generation for the implementation, for the advocacy, for the education, for also their role in terms of surveillance system, we do think that, in the next 10 years, we will see the zero new case of female genital mutilation.
Are the youth receptive?
They are fully receptive, and we know that we still need to continue to engage young people, but we have a lot of networks who are already very active, of course, in social media, but we are agents of change on the ground and who are, going around in schools, in communities, talking to leaders, talking to their parents, protecting the young generation, sisters and brothers, and who are very active in that area. So we want to look at this positive area. Effect, but at the same time, we know that we still need to continue to convince some young people. We need to continue to organize.
Are those youth well perceived by the older generations in their communities?
You have put the finger on a very important one. And actually, we are thinking that we should have more intergenerational dialogue on that issue. And we have a methodology for that. And we are starting to build the capacity of civil society this year on intergenerational dialogue, because we don't want also, adult people who have the power because they're sitting in governments, parliaments and all to, feel like they're threatened. So we need to make sure that this conversation between young people, aspiration and needs and rights, and the adults who have the political power and also economic power, will take place. So we haven't forgotten that.